Can you hear that? Listen. That's the sound of no planes, no flights overhead. That's the sound of far less traffic on the roads. You can hear the birds. You can actually, if you listen carefully, hear the wind too. It's quiet, isn't it? Really quiet. Almost peaceful. And yet when I watch the news, I don't feel full of peace then. The news doesn't sound particularly peaceful. The virus doubling every 3 to 4 days. Vast new temporary hospitals being built. Mortuaries established at the airport. Our Prime Minister, Health Secretary, Chief Medical Officer and other Cabinet Secretaries down with the virus. The roads and the sky may be quiet, but peaceful? Peaceful? Full of peace? Today the clocks went forward. That's always exciting, isn't it? It means that summer's coming. Today you get to spend an extra hour at home. Okay, the comedians among you have already said that we should put the clocks forward, not just by an hour, but by, say, 4 months. That should do it. Maybe by July, things will be better then. Who knows? And actually, if you did know, would that be helpful? Would that bring you more or less peace? Jesus could see the future. He knew what was coming. The short-term future, well, that was going to be tough, real tough. He could see that he would be arrested on false charges, beaten, tortured, crucified, nailed to a cross and left to die on a very slow and agonizing death. He also knew that some of his followers would let him down and that many others would also be attacked and some of them would also lose their lives. But that was the short term. Jesus could also see the long term, the true future, and that was very different. Death could not hold him. No grave could. He would be resurrected to new life, eternal life. And resurrected life for all his followers would follow. He would beat not just his own death. His resurrection would beat the very principle of death. The death of death itself, so that all of us who are in Christ could know him for eternity. But at that moment, his followers, well, they were a mix of bemusement. They were scared. And to them, in John chapter 14, Jesus says to them, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." Jesus didn't say, "A nice sunny afternoon, I leave you," or "A calming picture and soothing soundtrack, I leave you." No, he said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you." What did he mean? What was this peace? The peace he was leaving was the shalom kind of peace. Shalom is a Hebrew word, and we usually translate it as peace, but it's better understood as wholeness, completeness, right relationship. There are many layers to shalom. Shalom begins with physical well-being. You can't experience shalom if you haven't got food to eat, somewhere to safe to live, a job that brings you safety and dignity. When these are missing, shalom can feel very distant. Maybe it's this fear and the absence of shalom that has led some to stockpiling over the last few weeks. But with the threat of COVID-19, then we all crave a bit of shalom. Shalom continues when there is justice between people, when there's right relationships, right living between people. It's hard to feel shalom when you've fallen out with someone. So those of you who are living with others at the moment, you're isolating in community, you might already be climbing the walls. How do you experience shalom in your relationships? And then shalom goes deep within us, within each of us. It's when we live with integrity and wholeness, living out the values that not only do we aspire to, but the ones that God has given for us. Honesty, truth-telling, kindness, generosity, compassion. Apostle Paul summed it up so brilliantly when he talked about what it's like to have an absence of shalom. He said it's like a raging war inside. The things I want to do, I don't do. And the things I don't want to do, I do. And yet Jesus came to bring shalom. Shalom to those left on the margins, worried about what they will eat or what they will wear. Shalom to those worn down by abusive, tedious, abusive relations of religion. Shalom to those who feel judged, excluded by others. And shalom to those who feel God is not for them. In fact, they feel he's against them. Shalom was not part of the gospel. It wasn't a byproduct of it. It was and is the gospel. Shalom is what Jesus came to be and to do. Everything he did was about bringing shalom, because he was shalom, Prince of Peace, Prince of Shalom. Remember the prophet Isaiah saying, "For unto us," this is Isaiah chapter 9, "for unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." That's right. Paul says, Jesus came proclaiming peace. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 17. He, this Jesus, came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. Today, if you struggle to keep your head together, if you feel far away from God, or that God is far away from you, Jesus comes to you and he speaks peace, shalom, to you. And if this week you've been surprised at how well you've managed to keep going, if you found yourself drawing closer to God and it almost seemed easy this time to do this, to you Jesus comes and he also speaks peace, shalom, wholeness. Christ brought shalom, not by saying nice words or doing nice things for people. Christ brought shalom by living shalom. So when things got tough and he was arrested, falsely accused, beaten, crucified, Christ continued to respond with shalom, because he was shalom. He didn't fight back. He went to the cross. It was necessary to prove that shalom really is the way, the truth, and the life. Colossians chapter 1, God was pleased through Christ to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace, shalom, through Christ's blood shed on the cross. And before anyone says a fat lot of good it did him, didn't he die? Well, 3 days later, boom, the resurrection of Christ. Death could not hold him. If ever you needed vindication, proof that the way of shalom is the God way, the resurrection is it. Our challenge is not only to receive peace, it's also to spread peace to others. Paul says, put on your shoes and be ready to spread the gospel agenda of peace, shalom. We say in Ephesians chapter 6, with the armour of God, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. So for the next few weeks, when we're not going out and we're staying in, we're more likely to be wearing slippers than outdoor shoes. Well, put on your slippers that bring the gospel of peace. If we want people to experience shalom, we first need to ensure they have enough food, somewhere to live that's safe, employment. If I want to experience shalom, I need to put broken relationships right. I can't afford to have enemies. I may not like everybody, but I need to be in good relationship with people. Shalom flows from all of our relationships being put right. Relationships with God, with ourselves, and with others. So this day and this week, how will you experience a deeper a richer shalom, allowing the fullness, the completeness, the wholeness of Christ, won for you through his right living and victory on the cross. How will you allow that to come into your soul, to come deep? And then full of shalom, reacting out of peace, how will you spread peace, shalom, to others too? Connecting with people next door, picking up the telephone, getting on WhatsApp, Zoom, or however, spreading shalom wherever you go this day. Do it in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord and Saviour, the Prince of Shalom.